Well, today's podcast episode is sponsored by the amazing Kettle and Fire.
Okay, you know me. I am the queen of bone broth. I swear by it for a couple specific reasons, though, you guys. It is so nutritionally dense, full of collagen. I feel like I can really feel a difference in my hair and skin since I started drinking it months ago. And it's also got so much protein in it. And you guys, Kettle and Fire's bone broth in particular has quality ingredients. There's no BS. They have organic veggies and spices. They've got grass-fed, grass-finished cattle bones and only pasture-raised chicken bones. It's the creme de la creme when it comes to bone broth. Rich in collagen, protein electrolytes. And also, by the way, they don't just have bone broth. If you're not into the flavor, they also have delicious soups. And it's such an easy snack or meal that you can just grab on the go or in a pinch when you're needing something that's healthy and nutritious.
I am in. Go to kettleandfire.com and use code CHATTY to save 20% off your order. Again, that's kettleandfire.com. Use code CHATTY to save 20% off your order.
And welcome to another episode of Chatty Broads with Becca and Jess.
Well, my little sick boy's here. So we were going to record last night, and this guy calls me on the way.
This is how I came in today. So I came in for Evan today to record this episode.
He comes in, or he calls me and he goes, bro, I just vomited. I just opened the door of my car and vomited everywhere.
It was like a freak of nature situation. I felt good all day. Look at this. My mask will just gradually become more like more relaxed. I felt pretty good.
I think the listeners will be annoyed with the ASMR there. Let's take that mask off.
They will be. So I felt pretty good all day. And then all of a sudden at like 5:30, I'm like, I'm starting to get like a little bit of a headache and starting to feel a little bit nauseous. So I didn't think too much of it. In my car, I'm like, all right, I'm like kind of nauseous, but I'm just going to, you know, I had a little cup of coffee. I was like, I'll just have a little bit of caffeine, go to Evans. And like less than 5 minutes on the road, I was like, I'm going to throw up. And just like pulled over and just opened my door and just started puking out my door. And then like sped home.
Oh my
and did
gosh.
One of those like run into your house, like left my keys in the door, ran to the toilet
because
I was like tasting spit,
and you knew that first one was just the beginning.
Yeah,
of the
that
mountain.
Was that felt just the beginning, and I was just like tasting spit, and I just started calling Evan, and I was just like FaceTimed Evan by the toilet, and was like, I can't do this. I can't record tonight. I'm just stuck.
If you're watching right now, a picture will pop up of Gray and me FaceTiming of him just hugging the porcelain.
I wanted to know just where I was.
Yeah, because he thought I didn't believe him. He's like surfing. He's like, bro, I feel so sick.
I'm so sick, dude.
He's like, hold on a second. You guys, wait for it up.
But then it's crazy. And then all of a sudden, like today, I've just been like very tired. Just tired all day. I've taken multiple naps.
Well, you
slept
ate
like
food
a baby last
at
night.
A spa. And so I do think that there's a chance that maybe you got sick there.
That's what I said. I had some food at the K-Spa. I think it was this one like rice dish that did it. It was like not as hot. I got an oxtail soup, but that thing came out like nuclear. Like it was just roaring,
boiling.
I couldn't eat it for like 20 minutes. It was just sitting there. I don't think that anything that was alive in there was definitely killed. But the rice one was not like that. And I was like, this could be something. Maybe that's the culprit.
Nothing worse. Whenever you get food poisoning, you know, it's like you have moments before. When it hits, you're just like, feeling a little, and then it's 2 seconds later, you're gone.
Yeah.
How was your weekend, Mother's Day, all that stuff?
That stuff was all good. I mean, Becca's been sick the whole last week. So Mother's Day, we had plans, but then we canceled our plans and we just stayed at home, did chores, cleaned stuff up. I was basically her little manslave for the day.
Did you go see your mom?
That was the plan. But my parents. But she was sick. My parents had just got back from traveling. They had been in France for 2 weeks. Good for them.
Oh my gosh.
Evan was just talking about how he needs a vacation. And I
want to go to France for 2 weeks. That sounds amazing. Right?
Sounds lovely.
Ah, sounds unbelievable. Next time they go on a vacation, can we like kind of hop on?
I would love that if we all just tagged along with
my parents.
Yeah,
we're just like, hey, don't worry about us. We'll stay in the back villa.
Mm-hmm.
We'll stay in the small villa in the sprawling countryside.
My mom would be so fun on vacation.
Would she love if we all came?
Maybe.
Your dad would definitely not be. No dad would be.
If he had his moments to himself, the reason my dad would be fine with it is because if we were all there, we could distract my mother.
Oh.
And my mom would have people to be social with, and it would be fine for because my dad to go. Because she's a little bit
like, what are we doing today? And he's like, yeah. Nothing. That's the reason why we're here.
Yeah, I want to sit at a cafe for like 4 hours and just read the paper.
Old
that's literally like what he wants to
I
do.
I love that.
Wants to check if there's a golf course there, and he'll go for like, you know, get a massage on the beach.
But dude, he just wants your to be, dad's my hero.
My dad your just dad wants to be comfortable. Hero. My dad doesn't drink, so he just like wants to be comfortable and relaxed and like serene. That's it.
That sounds amazing.
He just
amazing.
Wants to go, if there's a bunch of birds, he just wants to sit and read the paper and have a nice cup of coffee or sparkling water listening to the birds while he reads. That's about it.
Your dad's
just
a
sit in peaceful
character.
Places and reads. That's what makes my dad extremely happy.
Wow.
Golf.
Oh, he sounds like me.
Yeah.
Except with the I drink.
My mother... My mother,
my mommy,
is more, she has more needs.
Got it.
Yeah.
More stimulation needs.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
but that makes it really fun on vacation because she just wants to go and do stuff.
That
she's
sounds
like,
fun.
Hell yeah, we're on vacation. Let's go somewhere. Let's do different things. Let's make different choices.
I'm a little bit in the middle.
So she's like, let's party.
I'm like, if I'm in a fun vacation, if I'm in France, yes. Europe, yes. If we go to Hawaii and you're trying to do a million things, I'm like, get out of here, dude. I'm trying to chill on the beach for 9 hours and drink cocktails and like surf intermittently.
Well, plus everything in Hawaii is just designed to steal all of your money.
100%.
It's insane.
I had a buddy back in the day that told me, he's like, dude, I got invited by the in-laws to go to Hawaii for like a week or 2 weeks in this dope spot. I was so excited. And he's like, bro, they were waking us up at 7 a.m. every day to like, with like an itinerary. And he's like, I never knew Hawaii could be that miserable.
Because they're like, we're here once, we're never coming back. So all of the things we have
no,
4 days
to do hyper-vigilant people. They're just like, well, hello, and it's time for, okay, we have pottery class at this. We have a lay class.
We're going to make our own lays, yeah, and then we're going like, to go on a seven-hour catamaran.
The last thing I'm trying to do
have
is
lunch on the catamaran ride.
I'm cool with that. Catamaran
all
day?
Not for 7 hours, dude. This is what people don't get. We did the catamaran snorkeling thing. The majority of the time, you're just on the catamaran.
Yeah, drinking, hanging out, vibing. It depends on the catamaran. Maybe I got to recommend a better catamaran for
you're
you.
You're just sitting on the catamaran.
No, you're like, you're on a moving
Listen
vessel in the middle of the Hawaiian Ocean. It's fucking amazing.
This is why Becca is my queen. It's because the two of us will sit here and bitch about our Hawaiian catamaran ride.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I prefer the helicopter ride.
For me, that wouldn't do it. I'd be like, it's fine.
You think that?
I'd rather do the catamaran.
You think that? I had never been on the helicopter. Now, if I have a choice, helicopter, catamaran, there is no decision to be made.
Well, I'll have to travel off the
helicopter.
That
I don't care how bad the winds are.
I don't care if you're fighting for your life.
I don't care if there's a fucking storm. If it's the helicopter or the catamaran, I'm on the helicopter because I'd rather die than be on another catamaran.
Dude, I love the catamaran. But again, like, there's certain ones that are great. So, like, the one we go on, it's, like, very adult. Like, everyone's, like, there's not kids running around. There's no kids allowed. It's adults only. So, it's very, like, chill. Everyone's, like, older and, like, sipping. It's, like, there's, like, sipping wine or champagne or, like, cool beers. It's, like, spread out. We're cruising along. It's very,
like
adult
vibe. I would
like
to do the Caribbean-style catamaran where the water's only, like, a few feet deep, or at least that's how it seems, and you're all in, like, linens. Everyone looks like you're in, like, a Hawaiian Tropics commercial.
I've done the catamarans in the Caribbean before. Catamaran
really?
In the Caribbean. Hawaii destroys it. Personally.
Well, we were on Kauai or Maui somewhere.
Maui.
We were on
Maui's my favorite. Look at us. I haven't been in years, but like the few times I've gone, I also talk about like I've been a million times. I've been like twice or three times in my whole life. So
I see. So here's the thing is
more of a veteran.
I went to a lot of places as a child.
Oh, so you didn't get to soak it up.
When you go travel as a child, traveling is a whole different experience. Like,
you don't soak any of it up.
I went to Italy with my parents when I was in middle school.
You're
and
like,
I
where's
literally
my N64?
Am quoted on being like, I don't want to go into another fucking old church.
I wouldn't want to.
I don't care anymore at this point. I don't like just like whatever. It's a cultureless little fucking 13-year-old just like ready to set the world on fire. And now if I think about going to you know, if I think about going to Italy on that trip, I'd be like, holy fuck.
How amazing would that be?
What an incredible thing. I didn't appreciate any of it. I mean, I do. I remember a lot of it.
I think there's a lesson here, though. Don't waste good vacations on kids.
On your children, dude. They don't care. They're such ungrateful little pieces of shit.
Oh, my God.
They are. They're lovely. They are great. They're wonderful. They create all this joy. But seriously, don't waste like an amazing European vacation on your kids.
Yeah, I don't get the European vacation.
If you're going to do that, wait till they're like in high school and then they like become cooler for having gone there.
Right. Exactly. They're not going to want to do it because they're going to be on their phone the whole time.
But when they get back, when they're like an annoying little know-it-all. But then they can just like leave. You can be like, here's $40.
Oh my God.
Go to like, you know, go smoke cigarettes somewhere right. in Paris and like have fun. Then they'll be super happy about that.
Well, yeah, my Mother's Day was cool. It was like, it was the opposite. It was like sister, mom, mother-in-law, stepmom-in-law.
Good God.
It was like, we were celebrating 19 moms, dude.
Why did this happen?
Well, just, it was like, you know, they all live close. So we went down there where everyone was. And so like, you know, it's like I go to my mom's thing, you know,
husband's there too.
Yeah. Well, no, it wasn't like a group thing. It was all separate. So it was like, I went to lunch with my mom.
Oh.
I took Jess out to a dinner. You know, we hung out with her mom and then dropped stuff off for the stepmom. You know what I mean? So it was just kind of like, you know, it was great though. I mean, I love her mom so much and I love staying with her. And so that's chill, but
the whole, it's just bouncing around.
Well, and where I feel bad is like, all these moms are giving each other gifts too. So there's like a lot of pressure on the whole thing. Ugh. I think there should be a rule that like, if you are a mom, you shouldn't have a gift. You shouldn't need to give a gift to another mom.
Yeah.
Cause it's kind of like, now you're having to work.
No, that's not right.
Like Jess got done with the weekend, like tired. Cause she was like running around with me and then running around on her own and like dropping flowers off for this person.
Future note, Mother's Day, take a trip somewhere.
It's a good idea.
That way you don't have to deal with everybody else.
I'm going to do that next time. Should probably cut make this part one of them babysit.
Happy Mother's Day. Good, watch your grandkid.
Well, but they're a mom, so then they're like, "Well, I want my time." I mean, maybe that's my family. Yeah, I think that's where the difference is.
Might be. What about Jess's mom?
She's a lot more like down for.
See, use know, that.
Use it.
Extort that.
No, but anyway. So today is the first episode of Broline.
Yes.
Which is, we're going to get into where we basically, people call in, FaceTime in and or Zoom in, and we life questions, relationship questions, you know, this is advice.
It's a connection.
It's an absolute live connection.
Zoltan.
In real time. Zoltan?
Zoltan.
Zoltan. Yeah, we get to like talk to people face to face, which is super exciting. So we're going to jump into that right now. And I hope this is a recurring thing.
Yeah, same here, because anything that makes us more like a 90s radio show
is the way to
100%
go.
100% the way to go. One thing, if this works out, the next thing I want to line up is crank calls to your family.
Crank calls. Where someone takes a puppet calls. And makes us a version of that
would be amazing if we inspired someone to that point. No, but I just want like a switchboard where we can be like boom boom boom, and then you know, have some sound effects. Gosh, have some funny. Like celebrity.
Hey, what's
tapes.
Up? It's Abbott and Grace and back on the air.
How'd you be like, what?
Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah, exactly. Well, some wacky yeah. noises. And call your dad and be like, yeah, we're gonna turn off your power. And he's like, you're gonna do, and we'll do say, what?
Yeah. That's so stupid. All right, guys. Well, we're going to jump into the first question, and we're looking forward to it.
Who's our first guest?
I don't know. Let's see here. All right, we're going to jump in.
Let's go.
Okay, broads, interrupting the bros. I think we can all agree that when your lashes are looking good, you are more or less unstoppable, okay? But having false lashes on all the time to achieve that I woke up like this but not really look is just not a reasonable thing, because lashes can be heavy on the lashes. They can damage them, or some might not be super comfortable for everyone. Or maybe you love wearing lashes, but your eyes just need a little break from time to time. all valid. Thanks to lash serums available today, you can get the length of false lashes even when you're not wearing them with your natural lashes.
Roderm is the easiest way to get the lashes you've always wanted. Roderm offers access to clinically proven eyelash growth serum for people who want longer, thicker, darker lashes. And if the treatment is right for you, you can get it prescribed online, and all you'll need to do is complete a free online visit and answer some pretty standard questions about your eye health and medical history. And then once your info is submitted, a Roderm healthcare producer will get back to you within 48 hours, and they'll send your eyelash serum right to your door.
I've seen some seriously incredible results from eyelash serum, Broads. My mom started using it about a year ago, and she swears her eyelashes look better now than they did when she was in college. In fact, in a 16-week clinical trial, patients using the serum had a 25% increase in their lash growth and 106% increase in fullness. Those results speak from themselves. That's no, wild.
I've used it before. It really works. Mm-hmm. Right now, if prescribed, new members will receive 10% off of eyelash growth serum with Roderm when you go to roderm.com/chatty. Shipping's free. You get free and unlimited follow-ups with your healthcare provider to support you throughout your eyelash growth journey. And yeah, so just go to roderm.com/chatty.
So in the course of my adult life, I have tried some wild and crazy things to get my hair to be healthy and strong. Okay, every vitamin, every shampoo, conditioner combo. I've even tried a homemade egg and mayo hair mask that I'm pretty sure I read in a blog that was guaranteed to make your hair soft and healthy. It just made my hair smell weird. Okay. Anyway, I guess on a positive note, all the bad, gross, and disappointing hair treatments led me down to the road of one that actually gives me incredible results. I've been preaching this company now since I've been seeing amazing results. It's Vegamore.
Love Vegamore. They've created a clean hair system from smart botanicals that promotes visibly thicker, fuller, longer looking hair with no harmful chemicals or crazy treatments, just naturally healthy hair supported by natural products. And so if you're not sure where to start, I recommend giving the Grow Revitalizing Shampoo and Conditioner Kit a try. Jess and I have both used it. We're huge fans. And the main reason being, you're not adding steps into your routine. I need quick and efficient when it comes to my wellness routine, and that's what Vegamore is.
Just wash and condition your hair as you always have done, except with the Vegamore Grow Kit, and watch your hair transform with each passing week. 91% of customers saw visibly thicker hair in just 3 months. That is me. I have seen that on my own hair. I'm so grateful. But if for some reason you don't completely love your products or see results, Vegamore offers a 90-day money-back guarantee no matter what.
Give your hair exactly what it's been craving with Vegamore. Go to vegamore.com/chatty. Use code chatty to save 20% on your first order. That's vegamore.com/chatty. Code chatty to save 20% at vegamore.com/chatty.
Hello.
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 I brought a ceremonial beard across.
Oh, let's go. Perfect. Is it Eliza?
Eliza, yes.
Eliza, so nice to meet you. So we're going to jump right in. Thanks for taking the time. So nice meeting you. This is the first time we're doing this. Bro line. This is amazing. Okay, cool. Tell us a little bit about what you have going on.
Regarding my question. Okay, so my question is about a phrase. I don't know if you've ever heard it.
Okay.
It goes a little something like, if he wanted to, he would. So... The implication is that men never think that deeply about these sorts of things, so that if they want to do something, like if they want to like ask you out, they want to like come talk to you, things like that, they will do it. And I've been finding myself like giving this advice to friends, being like, oh, well, if he wanted to, he would. But then in my own life, I'm like, wait, I want to sometimes and I don't. And so I like couldn't apply it back to myself, but then also I'm a man. So wanted to peek in the male brain for this one.
That's a really good question. Do you have a first kind of initial take on it?
Yeah, because I'm on, I think I straddle both sides of the fence on it's true and it's not true all at the same time.
Okay.
Okay.
I think it all depends. You have to take into it. I don't think you can blanket statement. I think you have to take into account what that person is like in their normal life. So if that person's like a driven go-getter, then that probably applies.
Okay.
If they're timid, nervous, you know, they tend to overthink everything about their life, then it's probably safe to say that you can't apply that directly. You know what I mean? So it depends on the person.
for me, it was going to be like time and situation. Like if it's the first, if this is a, like it looks like this guy has a crush on this girl and they've spent like a few different times, like they've had time spent together, like a couple occasions. Why hasn't he made this move? And it's like, oh, if he wanted to, he would. I don't necessarily find that applicable in that case. I think most guys are pretty like have no concept on how to actually do it, especially if they actually like really like the girl. Okay. I think it's even harder. Cause that's like something I've just noticed in terms of, confidence in guys asking girls out throughout my whole life is like far fewer of them are actually like, well, yeah, if you think she's cute, why don't you just go talk to her?
Mm-hmm. That's terrifying.
That's like, exactly. So it really like, is probably scary. Like 10% of guys actually do that. That's why I always have this theory of like, when you see certain people dating and they're like, wait, why are they together? And it's like, right. Well, cause he fucking asked her.
Right. He went for it.
In a whole room, the smaller percent, it's not like if you take 10 guys out of a room, 10 of them are just going to walk up to like watch a high school dance movie. It's like, that's right. That's how it works. That's what the guy's brains are. So then, but then if you're in a relationship, like if you have time spent with this person and you're in a relationship and suddenly there's like say it's like intimacy and it's like, well, we haven't had sex in like 3 weeks and that's abnormal. That is the situation in which I would say, well, if he wanted to, he would. And that's where I'm like, there's something wrong, you know? And that's so to me, those are two examples of where I would either agree or disagree with the sentiment behind that statement.
I think, no, go.
I'm surprised you said that because I was like thinking about it and you gave a scenario in an episode where you were like at dinner with your parents and you like gave the waitress your number because like you just wanted to. And you were I'm like balls to the wall. I'm doing it. So it's funny that you say that because I thought you were going to say something different.
No, I would say I when I was single, I very much enjoyed asking girls out.
Oh, okay.
I enjoyed those moments.
Thing, though.
It's a personality thing, but I'd say the vast majority of my friends, like that is not like a like that.
Well, there's also the thing too of like asking someone out you don't know versus let's say making the jump to ask out a friend that you've known for a couple of years and they're now single and you've always liked them, but then you're afraid that if you do it, then it'll blow out the relationship and now you won't be friends anymore. Cause like, there's a lot to take in. I think and not to generalize, but I think your question applies to more like life shit, like cleaning the house, like doing nice things. You know what I mean? Like there's something about like, if you want to do it, guys can be a little bit more like, dog brained about it. Like if I want to go do this fun thing, I'm gonna go do it, you know what I mean? I'm not gonna overthink like how it's gonna affect this and this. But when it comes to asking girls out, you know, it's a lot more intimidating than I think people realize. It's really scary like to go out on that limb and be so nervous and then be, like maybe be rejected. Mm-hmm. I think people underestimate guys like anything really get in their head about
anything
it.
Romantic really.
What
think guys get in their head about
big time have you been going through a specific situation? It feels like you're kind of asking for a friend, you know what I mean, a little bit, and it's like, well, how about make this more personal?
Okay, I can give a personal example.
Yeah,
there's like someone I met through mutual friends. Whenever I like see him, we like flirt, it's whatever, it's casual. He asked for my number one time. He's instigating everything. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to give you my number. I gave him my number and then like just hasn't been used since, like radio silence, but just like a move has never been made. And so I keep telling myself, I'm like, oh, if he wanted to, he would. But then he told one of my friends, he's like, well, she's just like, she has her shit together and I don't. And that's like intimidating. But I was like, that's bullshit. I just don't think that you like me and you should just like not flirt with me when you see me then. So
I wouldn't necessarily disagree with that, because I for a long time had felt like it was like, oh, I was never going to do anything serious because I wasn't at a point in my life in which I thought of myself as serious material.
Okay.
So like I do empathize with that if do you have your shit together?
I like to think that I do.
Okay. And I guess. Why don't you send a little, oh, remember we were talking about this funny dog thing? Like, you know what I mean? They're like breach out. Like, he asked for the number. He got nervous. Or let's say he doesn't like you. Okay, there. That's, well, that's a possibility.
You, what
but,
if
like,
you did if he's exactly, nervous, what if you said exactly what you said to us? If you sent a message, you know, through the Vine to him that was just like, hey.
I mean, that's bold.
Like, yeah, her sentiment is like, if she gave you her number, if she gave you her number, she expects you to use it. If you're not going to use it, like, don't talk to her.
Yeah.
That's where she's at. And then it'd be like, oh, fuck.
That's definitely an option.
And then you'd find out. That'd be cool.
I'm just thinking in terms of like, if I went out on a limb, I was really nervous and I asked her and I got the number, but then later on I was in my head and I thought, oh, she wouldn't like me anyway, because like, she's way more advanced in her career. You know what I mean? Like, we can all spiral.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden I get a text being like, haha, remember this thing we were talking about? I found an article about it. And then I'm like, oh, okay, never mind. I'm in my head. And then we're off to the races. So you don't have to be like, hey, how are you, dinner tomorrow? But you could do like an olive branch.
Okay.
But she doesn't have his number.
You could probably get it, though.
I have it. I do. Because he texted me like something inconsequential.
Right. So. He's testing the waters.
Testing the waters. So.
He's probably intimidated.
I'm sure he is.
Poor thing.
Don't be so intimidating.
I'll try harder.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
For taking the time. That's
I appreciate it.
Don't overthink it.
Oh, I won't. Thank you, guys.
No problem. Thanks for joining us.
You. We'll see you around. Hello.
Oh, love this.
We're driving.
Hi. Love this.
I'm driving.
I love this. Is what I'm talking about.
Anything for the bros, you know.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about to get it done. Where are you driving to?
I'm driving to Carmel, California.
To where? Oh, to Carmel.
Yeah.
How long's the drive gonna take?
Well, I live in Bakersfield, so it's about 3.5 hours.
Oh boy!
So, but I'm almost there. So.
Nice.
There we go. Yeah.
This is amazing. Well, so nice to meet you. Who do we have here? Eliana?
Yes.
What brings you to us today?
Okay. Well, yeah, what calls you into the bro line?
Well, I actually popped in the question box. I hate my in-laws and my in-laws hate me. Help.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is a good one. What's the story with your in-laws?
Can you give us a little bit backstory here?
Yes. So basically, my in-laws, I met them when me and my fiance were first dating, and they're very conservative, and I'm a pastor's kid, and they're very Christian and all of that. So I thought, I'm like, cool, I'm the perfect candidate. But no, they hate me. So, and I don't know why. So I feel like I've tried everything to like try and like be the good girlfriend and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not too sure what else to do. So, yeah, I was like, I'm like now kind of leery because I love my fiance, but I am like really fearful of like, what happens when we're going to raise our kids together? Are they going to try and control the situation? Because their family is very tight knit. So, my in-laws like to control a lot of other family members as well. So it's kind of an odd dynamic. So, yeah.
What makes you think they hate you?
It's a great question. They talk like they just say really horrible things about me, but like when I'm not there, and I hear about it from like my brother-in-law, because me and my brother-in-law are good, like we're tight, but yeah, like they'll just tell my fiance stuff when he goes home, like, you know, she can't submit, she's not good enough, like all these different things. We don't agree. We don't serve the same Jesus is a big one. So, So it's a lot, you know, they're like, she's not going to make a good mother, probably because I won't let them yell at my kids is probably the big one. We've tried hashing things out, but the thing is that they don't want to. So I've, you know, asked them like, hey, can we have like a conversation? Cause there's obviously tension. And all that kind of stuff. And it's made it really, really hard. So like every time I go over there, I'm like completely ostracized from like what's going on, which is really weird. So
how does your fiance deal with
that's
this?
That's what I was about to ask.
Yeah, because this is a big component to me.
Yeah. He has done a lot of separating from his family in the past couple of years. My fiance is 26 and he just moved out of like his parents' house like a year ago. So he's been on his own for like a year, but they were like really controlling. They threatened to disown him. They threatened to disown him at one point if he was dating me. And so he kind of just called them on their bluff. And yeah, so, but he
it's like nice Christian girl pastor family. It's like he's dating like this like famous atheist that like is like, I just want to end everything you know right. and love. It's like the nicest person ever who also believes what they believe. Yeah, they. I mean, they're yep. clearly they have massive issues.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, we need to dive into, you know, some practical elements here of how can we help.
Well, I think there's going to be first, are you on your way there now?
Is that why you're Carmel? Driving to Carmel? Or, yeah.
No, I'm actually driving to get away from all of that.
Oh, you're leaving that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Just for the weekend.
I think so. I mean, I think there's something here in terms like, do you want them to like you?
Yeah.
You do. That's good. See, because this is a thing of like, if you approach the situation where like, well, this is just the way that these people are. If this is how they yeah. see it and there's no hope, then like, what's the point of appeasing in this way if you're just intrinsically not going to be enough for them? You know what I mean?
Yes.
And if he's got your back on that, because you're gonna have to sure. really lay your boundaries out, especially like what you're talking about with kids and those kinds of things.
But I will say, just living in that tension is a lot. Like, even knowing yeah. you want to separate, even knowing that you're okay with not liking each other, even all that, it still is a lot to carry. It's a lot of tension. It's a lot of weight that like, yeah, it'd be great to just walk into your in-laws and say, what's up, everybody? How you doing? Oh my gosh, I missed yeah, you.
Totally.
Right. So right. not having that is a weight. You know what I mean? It's a lot to deal with. Yeah. Christmas comes around. You got to now, you know, they've already hated you. So now they're going to hate their son if he doesn't agree with them, and you're going to deal with all that. Like you said, threatening of disowning. Yeah. So for me, it comes down to, you don't have to answer this question, but like, how much do you love this guy? Is it worth dealing with right. this? Because it will be a thing, especially once you have kids. Dealing with in-laws will become a thing.
Yeah.
And then also, it'll also really come down to like him having your back. And if he's like got your back all the way and he's like, yo, mom and dad, like, bye. And I'll show up when I show up. I'll be there when I can be there. But you are not, as long as you are creating this much havoc in my life, you're not included in the journey here.
Mm-hmm.
But I think where the trouble is going to come in is where he's going to be like, babe, come on. Like, I know they got their issues, but like, they're my parents. Let's all go to dinner tomorrow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, he's trying to convince you to be cool. And then you're having to like swallow it every time. Like that's a lot to deal with. So I think it really comes down to like him and how he treats yeah. you regarding that.
I'm coming from assuming yeah. that that's all there.
What was that?
I'm assuming that is all in place.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have stayed this long if I didn't really love him and that wasn't really a thing. I think.
And he's know, got, think, he puts you first. That? He puts you first in those scenarios.
Yeah. For the most part. Yeah. I think we had to really work to get there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, that is definitely the case now. I think there's like, when it comes to like conversations about future down the road in marriage, like, I'm thinking to myself, like, I already know marriage is like hard enough with like without having the stress of family. And so for me, like right now, the big question for me is like, is the contention of family worth it? Like for some marriages, it's money, or like some marriages, it's like other things. But like this one, it would be like family. And because I'm a very family oriented person, like it's really like kind of nerve wracking. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Man, that is a good one, because it's like you got the fiance you love, even the brother-in-law you love, everyone's cool, and then you just have this like wildly toxic two people that are just like causing so much tension. Like, well, I mean, don't rush. I would say this. How long have you guys been together?
We've been together 3 years.
I would say don't rush the marriage date. Let this let the fiance-ness engagement play out a little longer to really feel out that next level, you know, like take some time in that next step, see how everything's developing, and then do everything you can to move out of state.
And create distance.
Yeah.
And create distance. Yeah, that's actually a really good suggestion. I was going to tag along with what Evan was saying on the time thing is also if like this transition for him in life is being like far more independent from them isn't something to be rushed either. Mm-hmm. And like, I think time will allow that situation to unfold in a fuller way. Yeah. Which may give you more clarity on some of those questions. Because his boundaries with his parents are going to have to shift.
Yeah.
I don't know how dramatic it is, but it's, you know, like just from being, you know, in not dissimilar positions in relationships with conservative religious in-laws.
Right.
I think like, and hearing like Becca's side of those situations, time like changed a lot of those things.
And you don't want to be the person that he holds responsible for his distance with his parents. Yeah, so you don't want to be like, I loved you and I followed you here and I did all this with you and now we're not doing well. And you're the one that made my parents hate me. You know, all that shit. You got to make sure it's kind of his thing.
Well, there could also be like this narrative. Like if you think of this narrative in a way of like, they don't like you. He just moved out. They threatened to disown him. And then in a short period of time, he's like, I'm also going to marry her. It may be like imploding for them instead of like allowing it's like you guys are engaged, the sentiment's there, but they have to like, I don't know. I mean, these are just thoughts. It sounds very neutral. Well, I wish we had a more like action packed plan.
I think there's also a level two. I would say
we sympathize big time. That's tough.
But I think there's also a side too, is like, you have to understand that like, They're still his parents, even though he can't stand them to some extent, even though there's always going to be in there just a sense of you want your parents to like you, or you want your parents to be good people, or you want your parents to like who you're with, all
be
that
proud
stuff.
Of you.
Even if even if you know your parents are crazy, there's still that piece, right? So if you become a person in the relationship that is always talking negative about his parents, there's bitterness there. If you're like, well, you know, your mom's like, what, then you will start to become kind of, you know what I mean? Like, he won't be able to trust in talking to you because he'll be like, oh, I know, you'll just talk shit about it. You know what I mean? As opposed to if you're able to keep a level head, actually to him, well, you know, your mom probably didn't mean it that way. Like, I would say, like, if you can kind of actually be the bigger, much bigger person here, put yourself above it all, I bet it'll speed up the process of him being like, my parents are crazy. But if you become the person that's like, I don't want to go to your parents are crazy, then he'll kind of be fighting between the two and go, who's crazy, who's not, who's beefing. But if you're like up here with it, I think it'll allow him to feel relaxed in your relationship and be like able to like discover how bad it truly is by himself.
Mm. Yeah, that's really good, actually. That's really great advice.
Because you just don't want to be, he already has enough negativity dealing with how. And obviously you got more, but I'm just saying he has enough dealing with his own parents that like, you don't want to be an extra voice in that. Cause then I think it'll drive him probably even closer to them and, or more in the middle and feel struggling, you know? So that's a tough one. We feel for you.
Yeah.
That's not easy.
Well, the funny part about like do everything you can to get out of state. He's actually a pilot. So if we actually goes into the airlines, we actually probably would move out of state, which would be very helpful.
Massive.
Yeah, distance will be big, will be key, because then it's just the big holidays.
Yeah.
Well, totally. Thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Please DM us and let us know how it goes.
I will. Thank you guys so much.
Of course. Enjoy the rest of your ride.
Will do.
Nice meeting you.
Bye. Nice meeting you guys.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Sorry, I just moved to Australia, and I have an Australian phone number, and it's harder to get into stuff like this.
Wow, it looks incredible there. We were just like, wait, where are you right now?
Is it true that if you flush the toilet, it spins a different direction?
I haven't noticed that, but it probably is true because everything is so backwards.
Wow.
Well, yeah, and you're technically in the future.
Yeah, you're in the future.
Friday, and it's really great.
Bye.
You guys have a great day tomorrow.
Thanks. Okay. Well, we have a few. We have about 8 to 10 minutes with each person, so we want to jump right in. Tell us why you're calling into the bro line today.
Okay, so I'm calling in. My husband and I have been married for 7 years, and we have a 10-month-old and a 3-year-old. And from the beginning, I have said, I want my own bedroom. I just love my own sleep. My husband snores. The babies wake up a lot. I'm always tired. And he was like, you know, when I got married, I always dreamed of like waking up every morning next to my wife. And I'm worried that it would affect our intimacy. And I just like want to share a room with my wife. And I'm like, okay, that's fair. So for years, I have been suffering. And then after having 2 kids, now it's gotten so much worse because I'm like breastfeeding in the middle of the night. He's now getting up at the butt crack of dawn for Australia, like to get online with people in the US. And I'm like, I'm not sleeping at all. We have an extra bedroom. I would love my own room. And I'm just curious. And mind you, when I get into bed, he's literally unconscious in like 3 minutes. So I'm like, why do you need to be next to me unconscious the whole night while I'm awake? Right. And I'm like, I would just be a much happier wife. So I'm curious, Beck and Jess, ask you guys, what's your thoughts on this? I want to hear.
Have you tried sneaking out? Just right after he's asleep, be like, here's the deal. Here's the concession. I'll cuddle you and rub your back until you fall asleep, just like with the kids, and then just leave and then just go to your room.
I just do that forever.
Yeah. Just it's like, I mean,
I have a question. Did you, you propose this question before you had children?
Yeah, so I grew up, I always had my own bedroom. I'm a very light sleeper. And I was like, I don't get why couples have to share a bed. We have houses with multiple rooms. Our kids all have their own room. Why can't we have our own space?
Right.
And then we were in Portland in a one-bedroom apartment. It, you know, it didn't make sense. And then now I'm like, well, we got the space. I want my room.
Okay. So... This is great because this is kind of like unique. This is a unique problem. I think you shot yourself in the foot a little bit by asking for it before the kids. The kids are a great excuse, but before the kids, now in his brain, he's got the stigma against the request, right? He's like, you've always wanted space as opposed to just like, hey, I'm a tired mom. I'm overworked. I need space, you know, kind of thing. So I think you need to kind of rephrase the situation.
I think it would probably be a benefit to your intimacy. I have friends who do this. They have separate rooms. They've like been together. They like dated all through high school, college, like off and on. They are now getting married. They didn't believe in marriage for a while.
Right.
But they've always done the separate bedrooms for a long time into their relationship. And I remember he was telling me that he's like, it's excellent because I have my own space where like, I don't know how your guys' house decor goes, but ours is about 99% Becca. And I have like a couple posters hidden throughout the house.
in the closet.
One's in like a bathroom. Yeah. Like a couple things are like my contributions. For the most part, it's all hers. He's like, it's my space. I can have dirty clothes on the ground. He can like be a little bit of a pig inside of there. And then he's like, you know, then gets to go and sleep over in his wife's room.
Right. It's like you're dating a little bit.
And yes. And it creates a little bit more of that, like, you know, like, oh, to go and sleep in her room means like, it's like special.
Have you worked out?
It's like not, it's not just the thing that you just, you know, fall asleep in 3 seconds.
Well, she doesn't need convincing of this. We have to figure out a way to get her to convince.
Well,
her.
He should listen to this.
Right. I love this. Okay. So.
Okay.
What about starting with a modified schedule? What if it's like Tuesdays and Thursdays? I kind of get my space.
What is he like that?
Just like
he
if you had a girls' night, you're like, oh, I'm going
to
go out with the ladies, have a good time. The same kind of concept. You're like, hey, I need a break. You know what I mean? So I'm breastfeeding. I'm doing all this stuff. I'm exhausted and I love you. But at the same time, like, this is important to me and it allows me to just feel like I have a little bit of independence in my life. Tuesdays and Thursdays, can I just have like this space to do this? Have you tried a modified schedule?
I think that's a great idea. And he'll notice I'm in a much better mood the next day, and then he'll just be like, yeah, we can do this all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, yeah, flirt with him a little bit more, come on to him a little bit more on those days okay. that he,
you know, is like, wow, this thing works. I mean, this is the same thing Becca yells at me about, because the kids, Ruth will fall asleep in her own room and then crawl into our bed in the middle of the night. And then Frank will still wake up to feed in the middle of the night. And so Becca's always being like, she'll get like a couple hours of sleep off and on, but she's constantly being interrupted by the kids versus me just as like out like a rock. You know, like pretty much.
So frustrating.
I'll get Frank in and out of bed and hand him off to her, but like I'll fall asleep for 10 minutes in between those handoffs. Like it's meanwhile, like she's up the whole time. So like I understand. I'm hearing similar things. She's always complaining about her sleep. I sympathize. I think you deserve your own room.
I think
if he's listening, he should give you your own.
Would your feelings be hurt if your wives asked you for their own room?
No, I would just be like, well, I'm still going to like bring him into your room if he's like waking up in the middle of the night.
Yeah. So in this other room situation, are you still doing the same tasks that you're, you know what I mean? Like in his mind, is he thinking, well, I have to work in the morning and I'm going to be with the kids all night and you're just in your special resort? Or is it like, no, it maintains the same concept for you guys both, but then like, it's just an intimacy at night.
No, thing. I was like, I will literally lay down until the 30 seconds it takes you to fall asleep, kiss you on the forehead, wander into my bedroom, go to bed. By the time you wake up, I can even be back in there. I don't need to lay there all night while he snores and then his phone goes off and then the baby's crying and then he has to pee and I'm just like fuming all night and then I'm mad at him before he even has his eyes open.
Yeah.
Ooh. And he's heard all this and he still doesn't see it.
Oh, he's heard everything. He's coming around to it, but I don't want him to come around to it because I'm bugging him to do it. I want him to kind of want it too and see that there's like an upside to it for both of us.
Well, see, that's where you might not get cake and ice cream at the same time.
But I like the idea of a modified schedule.
This is so funny.
I think a modified schedule can prove it's proof of concept. I think he's probably a little bit afraid of like seven nights a week. I'm not going to have my girl next to me. That's a little, I will say, if Jess came to me and said 7 nights a week, I'm not sleeping next to you, I would be a little intimidated by the idea. But if she said, hey, like, it's been a long week, I'm exhausted, can we do Friday and Sunday night? Like I'm chilling in my own space. Like
Friday
I'm
a little bit like, night, yeah. Friday and Sunday night carry like a little extra something about them where they're like, that's Friday and Sunday saying. Night are special nights. And then it's like, ooh, it's intimate night. You know, it's like, we're going to be sleeping in the same bed.
Final question. And this is a pretty personal, but like you can decline. But like when you guys are intimate, is it spontaneous or is it scheduled? More regularly.
It's like always before bed.
Okay.
So then he kind of feels.
Well, you have kids. Yeah, because you have kids. It's when the kids are asleep.
So then he probably feels a little bit like that's going to go away. Because we're like getting ready for bed and like that's our moment to be intimate. So now all of a sudden you're just going to be like, bye, and you read your book and then it's going to be gone.
No, because this is where guys are stupid.
No, I'm saying that's what he's thinking. This I'm not what, saying that's what's going to happen.
This is where we are stupid is because that's what we think. But in reality, she'll be so happy that she's going to go sleep in her own bed and get a good night's sleep that she'll be in a more positive mood.
So
this is, we're so dumb.
We got to prove the concept. Don't ask for the whole cake, just a slice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because also, if he's agreeing to it, don't be like, well, you're agreeing to it, but I wish you were agreeing to it this way. Because then you're getting
it. Happy about it.
Yeah, but he will become happy because this is classic. I'm sure you could look back on many moments where he begrudgingly went into something that he was then extremely happy about having done. This will be one of those things.
You got to show him the path.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. I'll try it out. Thank you, guys.
Try it out. Yeah, and I hope DM you enjoy us,
your
move. What
I hope you enjoy your relocation to Australia.
Gosh,
it looks absolutely
amazing, beautiful.
All right. Thank you so much. I will keep you posted and let you know if things work out.
Please do. Excellent. Thank you, Allie.
All right. Love you guys. Bye.
Love you too. Bye.
Rinder.
These are great.
Yeah, I'm enjoying myself.
I really like these. Broline?
Call the bros.
Hello.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Excellent.
All right.
Let me change this.
Wow.
It's like, no, it's very, I don't want to do that.
Very corporate.
Very. Sarah, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you guys.
Thank you so much for calling into the inaugural version of Broline.
I love that you just used inaugural.
You like that?
Yeah, I do.
I have never felt so honored. I will cherish this. I think I'll tell my grandchildren about it. So.
Well, you can show them.
You can show them.
Oh my God, I can.
That's true.
Yeah.
So let's get right into why you're calling today. Hit us.
Yeah. So my husband and I are in quite the pickle. We have two daughters, one who is 3 and then another who's 1. Our 3-year-old firmly has us by the balls right now. She has our number and she knows it. So the most kind of recent example of this and the most like just really shows you what we're working with. My youngest daughter just turned 1 and we had the whole birthday party, did cake, ice cream, the whole bit. And everyone's kind of lingering after you do the presents and all of that stuff. And Ava comes up to me and just looks me dead in my eyes, mom. And she's looking around the entire room. When are these people going to leave? And this is like just full family, the whole event. And my initial just reaction is like, girl, same. Like, I would also like my in-laws and, you know, all of these people to leave because invites at 3 o'clock and it's 3:45. But at the same time, after feeding, clothing her, I guess my other major responsibility is making her a human fit for society who does not go around just telling people to get the fuck out.
Yeah.
So you guys have some sassy toddlers. What the fuck do we do?
Well, I feel like there's two things going on. First off, one, you say she has us by the balls. In what way does she have you by the balls? Because that just sounded like someone who is wise beyond her years and a little bit more aware of like dynamics. So give me like she's dominating you.
It is 100% the fact that she is so funny. And this kid has so much like energy and spark behind her. But we have to like find a way to discipline some of the like not as great behaviors that go with it without like dampering all of that for her. And that's hard because she's like, she's pretty amazing how she is. And she's just out there. But
would you say that because she's so smart, she can tend to manipulate?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This sounds like you've seen the inside of this house. Yes.
Right. It's usually smart, right? You like manipulation.
Absolutely.
You have to be smart to manipulate people. Right. So it's like if you're young, you're going to try it out. And if it works, you're like, well, this thing works. I get my way. You know, Ember told my parents the other day that while we weren't there, she goes, yeah, I'm an only child. I beg. And it works most of the time because I don't have any brothers and sisters to fight with. And I usually get my way. And they reported that back to me. And I was just like, great. Okay, cool. So we are being manipulated, you know? Like you said, like she's got a gift, you know?
Right.
And the gift is like wise beyond her years, intelligent, smart, knows how to work with people. And then she's just testing the boundaries of like what's too much and, you know, what works and what doesn't. And like, it's like I heard this the other day. It's like lying is a problem because it works. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like no one would lie if it didn't get them things they wanted.
But in the situation you gave, could everyone in the room hear her?
Oh, yes. No, yeah.
So it was embarrassing because she was like,
I think it's funny. I think the bigger problem probably is that she knows that everyone thinks this shit is funny and like she can keep doing it. She's working the room.
How does she feel about like moral choices? You know what I mean? Like, does she, you know what I'm saying? Like, how does she deal with kind of like sharing and dealing with like, things like that?
As far as moral choices go, we have a situation with the daycare currently because she has been telling everyone that a little boy hurt her. He hurt her feelings because she knocked over his blocks and he yelled at her.
Yeah.
So lines are ambiguous.
Yeah. Dude, there's some Ember vibes here for sure.
Well, yeah, there's also like the, it's the same thing. It sounds similar to Ruth at the same way. I've always just thought of it of just like, she's so limited in like her understanding of like the world, even though they seem like they have it in a certain way. It really is like, they're just figuring stuff out and everything is like, oh, this works. So I'm just going to keep exhibiting this behavior. Some of the stuff, I mean, like the old, like the old ones, like, oh, don't like give into it in a certain way. But I never want to feel like I'm just ignoring them when mm-hmm. they're in front of me, because sometimes I feel like they're doing this because they want attention.
Mm.
But I, not that my advice would, it wouldn't be too much of like, don't worry about it. But I'd be like, don't make, I would think like not to make too big a deal out of it at this certain yeah. time. And then like when I, something I found, like if I'm watching TV with Ruth, because a lot of these kids shows, they bring these situations up in there. Like they try to teach kids like social constructs in some of these like weird child sitcoms things, you know, like in Bob the Builder, it's like, oh, they're learning empathy for humans because the tractors are doing whatever. It's odd, but I explain it with her. Not like too much, but I'm like, oh, like, you know, that hurt that person's feelings that they did that. That's yeah. like this. Does it, you know, do you ever feel like that when this happens? Like, that's why we don't do that stuff.
Yeah.
And less so of like trying to like, I never, cause I'm also like, they're, she's 3 years old.
How old is, how old
what does she know?
She's
just,
three. She just,
yeah, yeah, she's three. So she's like, she's just trying things on for size. Everything's like a try on, you know, at this
yeah,
point.
Yeah. And like Ruth is such a performer right now. And this sounds so similar because we've also like encouraged that inadvertently, because we're like, oh my gosh, like come look at this ridiculously cute thing she's doing. Do it for your dad. Do it for your mom. Show them how you did this. Oh, FaceTime your grandma. Show them that, sing them that fun song that you were doing for us. Mm-hmm. And it's like creating this thing of like consistently trying to please us in this way. And that's like, in my mind, when I think about it, I'm like, damn, that's like all we've really taught her. And it's because yeah. that's so much of her interactions with people.
I've never thought about like how much of that's like, oh, she just said this new, like new word or new phrase, like, oh, go tell grandma that, go tell, you know, yeah. your Aunt Jess, your Aunt Laura, you know, what's going on. And
yeah.
like, oh, we're just putting her on for show. Oh, no. Yeah.
So, I mean, like I'm thinking I empathize a lot because this is stuff I'm very conscious of. And I'm thinking a lot about the last, like, I don't know, the last few weeks as well. Same thing, it's yeah. coming up with our language, the language we use around the kids.
That's what I was going to bring up.
It's like same time.
How do you talk in front of her? Because that's also another thing too, that if you're, and I'm just saying we're all guilty of this. If you're on the phone going, oh my God, my stupid in-laws had to come over and I was dealing with their bullshit. Hold on one second, babe, you know, here's some water. Yeah. And anyway, Aunt Kathy was an absolute, you know, oh, and I could wait to kick them out of my, she's going to be soaking some of that in, which is like, we all have those conversations
soaking
with our friends
all of it
all
in.
The time. And she's going to be like, what is she saying? Oh, interesting. So then next time she sees the in-laws. So my friend is a teacher for like little kids. And she says, I know everything about their parents when we play the telephone game. We bust out telephones and you go, pretend you're on the telephone. And they're just like, he's always working and she never shuts up. Like they just are hearing their parents
oh,
all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, they just emulate so, whatever amazing. They.
So if your kid's really smart and she's like absorbing so much, like, you know, I think we cannot realize how much our influence is playing a role right now. So like if she's at the, you know, the in-law dinner and she goes, when is everybody going to leave? And you kind of whisper, oh, I know, but we actually got to wait. To you, you're like, I'm just talking to a baby. To her, she's like, oh, okay, yeah. That's what we're doing now. So maybe it's one of those things where it's like, now that Ember's six, I'm realizing how much I said she picked up on along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say at three, you have some time to go, oh, you know what? When she says that next time, I'm going to go, sweetie, I totally understand that like this is a lot to take in, but if you need to go into a separate room and have some fun with some toys, or if you need to go hang out with someone outside and take some time away, but these are people that we love and we need to be kind. You know what I mean? Like realize that if you're kind of joking along with her about like, yeah, I know, can't wait to get these people out. She will internalize and she will go, oh, okay, cool. That's how we deal with in-laws now. That's the big thing I've learned.
Yeah, they're just mirrors of us.
They're mirrors, man. And they soak it in so fast.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
No,
it's like you said, you were like, I sympathize. I'm like, yes, girl. It's like, yeah.
Oh, we've true. This is, they're mirrors.
That's why we're like, yeah. I mean, it's funny. It's not dissimilar. I'm talking to my parents about the same thing when they had to like change their lifestyle because they realized they're like, oh shit, our kid's going to grow up to be like 3 going on, 30 something.
Oh my gosh. It's crazy.
Instead.
We feel for you. It's a lot to deal with, especially when you're trying to like maintain life and do all this stuff and your kid's mm-hmm. asking these questions and acting like a 25-year-old and
at least it's funny for the most part.
Yeah, they're entertaining.
So fucking funny. That's like half the problem is that this shit's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I also find too that when you have a kid like this, it's easy to slide into like best friend mode. Versus like remembering mm-hmm. that like, no, like they need to learn and they seem smart and they seem like they get it. So you're like, oh, they got it. No worries. But there is this level of like, they're kind of creating their own narrative. And sometimes they need that. Like, here's the bumpers. Nope. 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 Cause then she'll start doing the stuff. Ember is just like that. So it gets more crazy because they start really understanding what's going on. Like they understand like the scope. And so it's like now's you actually have the time to like really shape the next couple years, So
our New Year's resolution was to improve language in the home. So, let's go one step further.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
We'll stop talking shit too.
Yeah,
that's like a good one.
I'm super guilty of that kind of stuff. So everything that I'm telling you is more just like I've dealt with and I'm currently dealing with.
Yeah, we're in cahoots with you.
Yes. This is team survive.
Good luck.
So nice meeting you.
Yes, thank you so much, guys.
Good luck with everything. Let us know how it goes.
Pray for me.
We will. See ya. Guys. Bye. Well, that was a blast. Broads, thanks so much for calling in. It means the world that you guys hit us up, participated in this. Broline will now for sure be a thing we're going to do in the future. We had so much fun. And we got to make it like a reoccurring segment where we do this and we get to meet all you guys and hang out. So, thanks again. We love you guys so much. Have an amazing weekend, and we will see you next week. Chat soon.